What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Do me a favor. You also can stream the show. YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you can stream video, you can stream the show as well. We are very excited to be here this week. We have a lot of fun stuff planned. I'm planning for the next month. I don't know about you guys, but I'm planning on the Chiefs taking care of business in these next two home games, a bye week, and them also going to New Orleans locked in month. Hopefully you are as well. We do have a lot of general NFL today. The Chiefs were off because they were the one seed in the AFC. We had five wild card games. We still have one more wild card game to get to. That game is in the NFC. So we're going to talk a lot about the games that we watched this weekend. Also the top storylines. Again, happy to be here. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here as well, getting you ready for the divisional round as the Kansas City Chiefs are set to take on the Houston Texans. We are still working on Pizza Tassio. I want Pizza Tassio back on the show. If you know the owners, tell them that The Drive wants to do a deal. I don't have anything to do with this. Rob, you don't have anything to do with this, but hit us up directly. We want to go back to giving the people some pizza. But I still want you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive every day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that we used to give away the best pizza in the city, but now we just give out mediocre sports takes here on 96.5 The Fan. This is where I would like to begin the week. The point seems very obvious, but I do think as we are kicking this week off, it is something that needs to be said. There are two rewards that you get for being the one seed in your respective conference. Number one is you automatically get to advance to the second round. You don't have to play this week. No wear and tear, no potential injury. You can sit back, rest, and relax. You can have a kid the way that Patrick Mahomes did. Congratulations to him and his family. Maybe Travis Kelce without spending time with his pop star girlfriend. Maybe you went sledding. I saw that the offensive line went to church. You spend your bye week however you see fit. That is what you are rewarded when you take care of your business in the 4-5 month regular season. So you get to automatically advance to the second round. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. You can kick your feet up. And you can enjoy wild card weekend. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the path that the Chiefs now have in front of them. We all knew that there are three contending teams in the AFC. Kansas City's in one corner, Buffalo is in one corner, and you have the Bills in the other. Last year, when the Chiefs were not the one seed and Baltimore was the one seed, you had to beat two of those three teams. You had to go on the road and you had to beat Buffalo, and then the next week you had to go on the road and you had to beat the Baltimore Ravens. This year, everybody gets to come to you. You get to play the Houston Texans in your first matchup, and no disrespect to Houston, but they are not the same caliber, the same weight class as Baltimore or Buffalo. We're talking about two teams that have potential MVP quarterbacks, two teams that are playoff and battle tested. You only have to play one of those teams when you're the one seed. You get to play Houston. Houston's a nice story. Got a very good quarterback, good head coach, capable defense. We're not going to look past the Houston Texans, but you much rather play Houston than have to go on the road and play Buffalo or have to play Baltimore. You don't have to worry about that when you are the one seed. Your path is easier between the two. So you get really two benefits of being the one seed. Number one is you get the automatic bye, you get the advancement, and you get to sit back and rest. and your pathway is just, it's lined up a little bit differently. This is going to be really, really tough for the Baltimore Ravens. You got to go on the road to Buffalo and follow that up with potentially going on the road to Kansas City. That's a really difficult path. That's why you got to take care of your business in the regular season, and you got to amass as many wins as humanly possible. Who cares about the score? Who cares about point differential? At this point, it is a very simple pass or fail. Did you win, or are you going on vacation? The Chiefs took care of their business in the regular season, and they have, in my opinion, the most favorable path of any team, at least this week, with who their opponent is. And you feel good because one of those two teams who were two heavyweight contenders, either one of those teams is coming to Kansas City to have to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. There was another observation that I had this weekend as I was watching Wild Card Weekend that I want to share with you guys. There are no shortcuts in this thing. I'm sure at some point today we're going to talk about some teams that have either tried some shortcuts or think that they can do it a different way. You think that you can go sign Kirk Cousins in free agency and think that this 35-year-old man is going to help get you to this point in the season. Or maybe you traded for a 40-year-old quarterback who had to go to a darkness retreat to decide if he wanted to play with your team or not. You think that there is a different pathway to success. Look at the teams that are still alive in this postseason and notice what they have in common. It is the investment that they have made at the quarterback position. Now, you need to do some other things correctly. The Lions, they got the quarterback. They traded for Jared Goff. They've also built the best offensive line in the NFL. You hit on Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. Your patience has paid off. He's turned into one of the better young receivers in the league. You hit on running back with Jahmyr Gibbs. Their defense is improving. It's not just get the quarterback and then you're good. No, you got to put the rest of the work in. But if you look at the teams that are still available or still alive in this thing, Kansas City spent the top 10 pick. Houston spent the top 5 pick. Buffalo, top 10 pick. Ravens spent a first round asset to go get their quarterback. Commanders, top 5 pick. Lions, their quarterback was the top 5 pick. There are no shortcuts in this thing. The path is simple. You need to invest in the quarterback position and you need to build an infrastructure around them. If you are another team in the AFC, for the last two seasons, it has been the same four teams that have made it to the final four teams in the AFC. Look at the investment that those teams have made. Look at the kind of quarterback that they have. Look at the pedigree at the position that they have. And you think you're winning with Aiden O'Connell at the position? You think that Gardner Minshew is going to get you there? You think that you can go trade for Aaron Rodgers and that's going to get you a shortcut where you can skip the line and now you're the best team in the AFC? You are fooling yourself. We made this reference last week when talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. You got to put your own work in. You got to draft. You got to develop. You got to build. You got to show patience. And you have to hope that you have the right infrastructure in place to give you a long-term path to viability. That's what Kansas City has. That's what Houston has, Buffalo, and Baltimore. So as we're looking at the AFC playoffs and getting ready to determine who has a chance to go to the Super Bowl, you got to look at what the teams that have had success, what they've done. And it's been very simple. They've gotten it right at head coach, whether it's with Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, John Harbaugh. So you've gotten it right at head coach. You've gotten it right at quarterback. You've tried to put weapons and skill position players around your quarterback. You have built a stable franchise and organization around them and allow them to flourish and go out there. Football is a lot more simple than these owners and general managers make it. The path is very simple. Look at the teams that are still alive in this thing. It is not hoping that your fifth-round pick, who was a backup quarterback somewhere else, it is not hoping that he's going to come here and have success, and that's what's going to get us to the top of the AFC. That is not the pathway to doing this thing. So I'm really excited to be here with you guys today, really excited to break down this week in the NFL. It was a sleepy wild card round, but you know what? We'll get through it, and I think there's a chance at the best game of the weekend, and last night's game was very good between the Commanders and the Buccaneers. I think there's a chance at the best game of the postseason, at least this round of the postseason, is coming up tonight on ESPN. All right, let's step aside here. Coming up, I need you guys to hold me accountable. Because sometimes I might be a little bit ridiculous with my takes. And you might be looking at your radio like, what is Carrington talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about, but I am here to tell you guys that I made a mistake last week, and I have made a mistake the last couple of years that I want to promise to you I will never, ever make again. I'll tell you what that is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to start this segment out by coming to you guys humbly and admitting where I potentially have been wrong. For quite some time now, I have been nicknamed and labeled Chargers.o on this show. And I have leaned into it a little bit just for the entertainment value of the show. It's funny. But deep down, I do think the Chargers are a good team. I like their head coach. I like their quarterback. I like their jerseys. They had a good defense. They had a good season. Sure, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's entertainment. It's a radio show. But I don't have anything against the Chargers. But if you guys want me to be Chargers dot, then sure, I'll be Chargers dot for you. If you need a villain, then I'll play the villain for you. I stand before you guys asking out of this contract. I haven't received any of the benefits and you guys calling me Chargers dot. Now, just last week on this radio show, I told you guys that I thought you guys were being unfair. I thought you guys were being unfair to Justin Herbert. I thought you guys were being unfair to the Los Angeles Chargers. And you know what hit me as I was watching the game? Do you guys know the story of the Emperor's new clothes? Where this emperor thought that he had on this fly outfit and everybody else was telling him how great he looked. And the only person that could see that he wasn't wearing any clothes was the kid. The kid was the only one that could see through the nonsense and could see the emperor for who he really is. We had Daniel Popper on this show a couple of days ago, and he called Justin Herbert an elite quarterback. We could find various media people that have told us Justin Herbert is that guy, that he's one of the top five, top eight quarterbacks in the National Football League. And people like me say, yeah, yeah. And we point to the cool little fantasy football stats that are out there. And he looks the part. Golden hair, 6'6", 240, rocket arm. He has all the talent in the world. And then they start playing the games. I'm here to tell you guys that Justin Herbert is a catfish. Is what he is. That's what he is. He is an NFL quarterback catfish. For those of you that don't know what a catfish is, let me give you the Urban Dictionary definition. It is a slang term that refers to somebody who has created a fake identity to trick others into believing that they are in a real relationship or friendship. And the goal is often to gain money or other favors from the victim. I'm telling you that Justin Herbert is a catfish. He is masquerading as an elite-level quarterback when he is Ryan Tannehill with better hair. I'm telling you that Justin Herbert is masquerading as an elite-level quarterback when he is Sam Darnold with more consistency. I will never, ever in my life come on this show again and try to speak the praises of Justin Herbert. He will never fool me again on this show. Never. Can we go through some of the stats from his last game? Because it's honestly, it is incredible what we just saw this past weekend. It almost defies NFL logic what we just saw. Did you guys know that this season, Justin Herbert threw 504 passes? 504, that's a lot. In those 504 passes, my friends, he threw three interceptions. That's an incredible ratio. That's an incredible percentage. He had a quarterback rating of over 100. Justin Herbert in October is brilliant. Justin Herbert in late September is maybe the best quarterback in the NFL. There's not anybody you will want more than Justin Herbert when it's late September. Did you guys know that he threw 32 passes on Saturday? And he had four interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 40.9. I didn't even know that numbers went down that low for what your quarterback rating is. I had absolutely no clue. if it wasn't for that meaningless long touchdown pass to Ladd McConkey, it would have been the worst playoff performance in a decade. I saw this stat. Did you know that in the last 10 years, I think there have been 204 quarterbacks that have played in the postseason? Did you know that behind Brian Hoyer, and you guys remember, Brian Hoyer started the playoff game, the first playoff game the Chiefs won in quite some time, that was the worst performance in the last 10 years. Right behind that was Justin Herbert on Saturday. I'm saying all of that to ask you guys for your forgiveness. I have made a terrible mistake, and I've wasted your time on this show that is very valuable. There's a lot of other radio shows that you could be listening to. There's a lot of other things that you could be doing with your time. And the fact that you spend any part of your life listening to me and Rob ramble about nonsense, I am very grateful to you. You have afforded Rob and I a very nice life by you listening to the show. Thank you for doing that. I apologize to you that I've ever wasted your time trying to sell Justin Herbert to you. He is a catfish. He is a lemon. He is a fraud. He is not real. The Chargers are not real. They have wasted too much of my time. They have wasted too much of your time. And I am now going to start my own rule, because I've come to you humbly and asked for your forgiveness and asked for your permission. If you call me Chargers out on the text line, I'm blocking you. I have to get negativity out of my life. I want Justin Herbert out of my life. I want those powder blue jerseys out of my life. Stan Humphries, Natron Means. I want all of them out of my life. I might not even charge my phone the rest. I don't even want Chargers around me. If you call me Chargers Dot today on the text line, I got to block you. I got to. I've asked you nicely to not call me that anymore. Call me anything else. Call me idiot, loser, nincompoop. Please do not call me Chargers Dot on the text line. Please don't.
Let me ask you a question about Justin Herbert. So you are outspoken. You might be the leader in the city, the clubhouse, the country, whatever term you want to use, of being down on Trevor Lawrence. Is it possible Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert are the Spider-Man meme?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of eerie similarities, because while Herbert was not talked about in the same light coming out of college that Trevor Lawrence was, remember, he also had some, ooh, look at the physicality, look at the traits, look at the features. He was good at a prominent school we all watched in college too, in Oregon. And then they both came in the league and they both got big contracts, and they've both done diddly poo as NFL quarterbacks. Is it fair to say the way you have talked about Trevor Lawrence since he entered the league out of Clemson is now the way you're going to talk about Justin Herbert? Because they seem like it's the Spider-Man meme, because if Lawrence didn't have Herbert, he'd be 0-4 in the postseason. And if Herbert had the popularity in college out of Lawrence, he would be crushed more at a national level. They're the Spider-Man meme, the two of those guys.
Yes. I don't have anything. Maybe you were expecting that I was going to back and forth. We were going to have a joust there. You're right. I have been very critical of Trevor Lawrence the last 3-4 years. I admit. They're the same. Justin Herbert puts up good fantasy football numbers. That's what he does. Justin Herbert is the quarterback that you go get the other things you need for fantasy football, and then you take a look at your screen when you're doing the live draft, and you think, oh man, snap, I missed a quarterback. I missed out on the actual good quarterbacks, the one that could actually help me win this thing. You know, Jalen Hurts is going to run for touchdowns. Mahomes could potentially win MVP. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Hey, I need a quarterback. You know who's a safe one to go get? Justin Herbert. He's safe. He'll throw for 30 touchdown passes. He won't throw a lot of interceptions. He'll put up some good passing numbers. He's going to give you a good floor and a good baseline. And then when the postseason comes around, when the games matter the most, he turns into Mike Glennon. I'm done. He's 26 years old. This is the end of his fifth season in the league. He has as many postseason wins as you and I have. I'm out. I'm done. I will not do this again with Trevor Lawrence. I won't. You can do it. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm denouncing Chargers Dot. We don't have a lot of rules on this show. You guys know on the text line. Don't spam the text line. Don't be racist. Don't be homophobic. As long as you don't do those things, you're cool. You might disagree with me. You might curse. I'm not going to block you. If you call me Chargers Dot, we have an issue because I've asked you nicely not to call me that anymore. I'm changing my name. I don't want to be Cassius Clay anymore. I'm changing a name. I don't want that anymore. Please don't call me that. If you call me Chargers Dot, we have a problem. I don't want to have a problem with you. We're starting a great week. We're starting a great week. Chiefs looking to win 3 straight Super Bowls. Let's leave the Chargers in our rearview mirror. I'm done talking about those losers. That's what they are. They're losers. Now, we're going to talk a little Cowboys here. I don't know why I said we're done with losers, and we're going to talk about the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy coming up in a little bit, but follow me here for a little bit. I want you guys to think about the weekly outrage that happens with the Kansas City Chiefs regarding the officials. Every week. Every single week. The Chiefs just never beat anybody. It's always the ref's fault. Oh, you guys are the media darlings, Vegas. Oh, the NFL wants you to win. Every week. Yesterday, I'm sitting there, and Sean Barber can attest to it. I was sitting right next to Sean Barber. And we're talking, and, you know, just having a good time, little fellowship, little guy time. And I look up at the television, and I see there is an official talking to Josh Allen. That's not abnormal. Why did this interaction stand out? Josh Allen is sitting down on the sideline, and the official is standing over him talking. When have you ever seen that in sports? We watch a lot of sports, Rob. Text line, you guys watch sports. Some of you guys are older than Rob. You've been watching sports 40, 50 years. When have you ever seen the official go over to what is a team area and start talking? Not where the ref is still on the court and the coach is on the sideline or the player. I'm talking about this would be like if the umpire went into the dugout and started conversing with Bobby Witt Jr. This would be like if the NBA officials sat down next to LeBron James and they are just having a conversation. That's highly inappropriate. You cannot do that. You cannot, as the official, you don't feel weird. You got to walk past the head coach. You got to walk past the guy who's standing up holding the first down marker. You got to step over the television wires. And then you go over to this man, Josh Allen, as he's talking to a coach or he's getting water. And then he pats you and then you pat him on the head. Whatever you guys were talking about, that couldn't wait till he was on the field. You're going to see him again. It's not like Josh Allen is some special teamer that doesn't play. He's the quarterback. During a commercial break, when he's out there, go over there and have that conversation. What was so important that you had to leave your area, which is the field, and go over to his area to talk to him about what was going on? It didn't make any sense to me. Well, Josh Allen tried to make some sense of this. This was his story.
When the ref came over to talk to you, like all the way to the bench, what was he saying? What was going on?
I wasn't happy with what was going on, and I was yelling a little bit, and he just said, don't be yelling. So, my bad. Sorry to Bill.
Did he apologize?
I won't say anything about that.
Oh, my goodness. Lying is incredible. You're telling me that Bill Vinovich was so upset that you yelled at him that he came over to your area to discuss it with you. Not when you were on the field, not during the game, not during a commercial break. He was so upset about what the conversation was between you two. He then walked over there to talk to you, to ask you to stop yelling? That referee should be suspended for the rest of the playoffs. I'm serious. I'm not even joking. Sure, we're having some fun with this. I'm serious. I've never seen anything like this before. Not once in my entire life. I've never seen an official go over to the sideline and start talking to one of the players before. Again, not like the official was standing on the field of play and the player was on the sideline and they're going back and forth. Josh Allen is sitting down on the sideline and the umpire comes up to him and they start having a conversation. He should be suspended for the remainder of the playoffs. It just looks highly inappropriate. And you guys know, and I know, if there was video of an official going over to the sideline and talking to Patrick Mahomes while he was sitting there, the internet would crash. The internet would crash. It would be, see, I told you guys, it was fixed, I told you. You cannot do that. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by RJ Choppy. He is with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, covering the Dallas Cowboys. The top story right now in the league is that the Cowboys, they do not have a head coach. They have let the contract expire with Mike McCarthy, and he is now a free agent. That means the Dallas Cowboys do not have a head coach. RJ, I know I want to talk to you about the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm not crazy, right? I've never seen a scenario where an official came over to the sideline to talk to a player the way we saw in the Bills and Broncos game this weekend. Have you ever seen that before?
I haven't. I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, it happens. Like, you know, you'll see officials talk in other sports to the players, but it's on the field, never like coming over to the sideline, going to the bench in an NBA game, so going to the dugout in baseball. So, no. I haven't seen anything like that.
It was absolutely crazy. It blew my mind. I thought I was like seeing something. Then I started seeing it on social media. I was like, wait, no, this actually happened. It blew my mind. All right, I want to get your thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks a lot for joining us today with this breaking news story. Give us the 411. What happened here in Dallas? Because there was a report that a team tried to trade for Mike McCarthy, and then the Cowboys blocked the trade, but now they're just going to let his contract expire? Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but nothing here makes sense. Nothing here ever makes sense. Not with the current the regime they have. I think at the end of the day, Jerry looked around the league, didn't think any of the candidates were an upgrade. So he was like, all right, I guess I'll just stick with Mike. But then what he was going to do was wait this thing out to the last minute, hoping Mike would just take whatever lowball offer they were going to give him. Jerry wanted to. He talked in the last press conference he gave about an incentive-laden deal, which that's not something you give to a coach who's been coached for 20 years, right? It's like that's something you do for a first-timer. And, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the numbers are just off from a year standpoint. Mike, I'm sure, wanted what a normal coach gets, which is 4 or 5 years. And Jerry probably wanted to do a 1 or a 2 year deal. And that was just a non-starter for McCarthy.
RJ, how do you think Cowboys fans are going to remember Mike McCarthy's time in Dallas?
Oh, that's a good question. A successful failure, like, you know, they won 12 games 3 years in a row. Like, that's not nothing. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. But they didn't get the job done. You know, he did not do what he was brought here to do, which was go beyond what Jason Garrett got them to. Jason Garrett got them to the second round of the playoffs. So did Mike. Mike didn't get him beyond that. Is that a little arbitrary that it's just like, you know, you have to get to this round? Sure. But, I mean, it's just the way it is. It's football. So, it wasn't a bad tenure. It was better than the previous one. It was better than Jason. It was better than Wade. It was better than Parcells. But at the end of the day, it wasn't enough.
Right now, we're talking to RJ Choppy for a couple of minutes. The top story in the National Football League is that the Cowboys have decided to move on from Mike McCarthy. If you had to take a look inside the short list on who the Cowboys' next head coach would be, who would be on that list? I'm guessing Ben Johnson from the Detroit Lions would be on that list, but they're about to start their playoff push here. Who would you say is on the short list for the Cowboys?
You know, honestly, from what Jerry has told us, and this is what he was talking about when they moved on from Jason, they were hiring Mike. He wants a coach that has coached in the NFL as a head coach. He doesn't want someone to what he said, and we were talking about Lincoln Riley at the time, learning on the job. He didn't want someone learning on the job. I don't think Ben Johnson's in play here. I don't even think it's an option. Like, just based on what Jerry has talked about, the things he has said in the past, I think Kellen Moore would be, even though he's in the same boat, Jerry would view it as he discovered him. This is all about, you know, credit for Jerry. This is going back to Jimmy Johnson. He wants the credit. He wants the credit for discovering someone. So if you're looking down that road, it's Jason Witten, it's Kellen Moore. I think there's, if you want to go the other route where it's like a former NFL head coach, I would not surprise me if John Gruden wasn't the coach next year.
I actually don't know if that's a bad suggestion for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't love it. I'd much rather go get a 30-something and 40-something, but he seems like somebody that would definitely excite Cowboys fans.
Yeah, he would. I mean, like, but there's baggage with him. There's no doubt about it. But if any organization could get away with it, it's this one, because this one doesn't care about outside PR. They just don't care. Like, they operate in their own mom-and-pop world. But, yeah, it's like, you know, I would much prefer the young hotshot. But again, I don't know that Ben Johnson wants to deal with it here either. I mean, like, he wants to have, an understanding of coach, GM, owner. Like, he wants that. The rumors are he's very particular about that. Well, you're not going to get that here. You're getting what you're getting here. And it's a very unique job. It's a difficult job to have to navigate through.
Right now, we're talking to RJ Choppy for a couple more minutes here, getting his thoughts on the Cowboys as they have let Mike McCarthy go. RJ, if this had happened, let's say, 4 weeks ago, do you think that Bill Belichick is the head coach of the Cowboys?
If Bill would have taken it, Bill wants control. I don't know how that would have worked here. I know they say, and he says that, you know, he would have been able to work with them, but I don't know. I really don't. I was always wondering if Bill would actually go through with it, or if Jerry would actually go through with it. Because the thing is, you know, if Bill were to come here and win a Super Bowl, Jerry's in the same boat he's in now. He would not get the credit for the title. He wants the credit for the championship. And that's why the coaches that he's hired have either been coaches that, you know, needed a second, you know, break, like Wade, like McCarthy, or Jason Garrett, or Campo, or Chan Gailey. Parcells was here just to get a stadium. Like, that's why he hired Parcells. It was, he needed to rebuild the team and buy a stadium. So I don't know that Bill was ever in play.
I can't imagine having an ego so big that me owning the team, the stadium being called Jerry World, isn't enough. I also need credit if the team actually wins the Super Bowl. I cannot imagine my ego being that big where I would worry about that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's a wild world we're in, man. It really is. It's like, you know, I'm not a billionaire, so I don't know what it's like to have that kind of cash and have that kind of an ego. But it's wild, but yeah, it's all about the credit. Like, he's not going to be satisfied. He wants to win, but he wants to win in his manner. He doesn't want to win. Like, he doesn't want to bring in Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson, I don't just use his name. Use his playbook, and Ben Johnson get all this credit for being the genius. And Jerry is like, well, yeah, I still don't have a title. Because nobody considers the other ones his. They call them Jimmy's.
Last thing here, RJ, and I appreciate your time. You know the question about Deion Sanders is going to come up. Is there any chance that Deion is the next head coach for the Cowboys?
You know, I think of all the college coaches, he would be the one that probably would have the most chance of being here. My question is, you know, if Deion comes here, he's the face of the organization. It's not Jerry Jones. And, you know, how much would that upset Jerry? I don't know. I think Deion's got a shot. I mean, there's obviously a relationship there. There's obviously a history there. You've got to know this franchise. I think it's a big part of it is knowing this franchise, knowing how to deal with it. You got to deal with the noise. Mike did a good job. McCarthy did a really good job handling the noise. You never heard him step out of line, say anything that was, you know, controversial or anything like that. I mean, he was pretty fantastic here dealing with everybody.
That is RJ Choppy joining us on the show today. He covers the Cowboys for 105.3 The Fan. Wanted to talk about the top stories. The Cowboys right now, America's team, they do not have a head coach. They have let Mike McCarthy's contract expire, and now he is a free agent. RJ, great stuff, man. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
You too, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is RJ Choppy joining us on the show today. I understand that we all have our egos in different ways. I mean, you need credit for if your team wins the Super Bowl? I mean, that sounds like problem number one right there with the Cowboys. If you want to know why the Cowboys have been in the position that they're in, it's because their owner wants to be in the videos dancing, smiling, singing. That's why. Is there any other owner that feels that way? Does Clark Hunt care about that? You want the credit? Sure. Hey, you come out, you bang the drum, you get to wave to everybody else, but You stay behind the scenes. You play the back. You let Mark Donovan do his job. You let Brett Veach do his job. You let everybody do their job. And in the end, you get to reap the profits and the rewards of everything that's coming in. All you need to worry about is making sure that your football people got what they need and making sure that Taylor Swift's suite is stocked up on the necessary treats. That's all you need to worry about. Seems like a great life. You want the credit. You want to be the general manager. This coach has to get along with your personality. It seems like a lot. If you want to understand why the Cowboys have been the Cowboys, you just heard right then and there from RJ Choppy why they have been mostly irrelevant for the last 25 years or so, at least when it comes to this part of the season. Coming up in just a bit, K-State fans, I hate to continue to have this talk with you guys, but don't think because we had Wild Card Weekend that we weren't paying attention and we didn't see the 30-piece McNugget you guys got dropped on your head at Bramlage Coliseum. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know, it's hard having this level of success. It's difficult. When you cheer for a college basketball team that can actually cut down the nets, every time you're playing people, you're getting their best shot. That's what it's like to cheer for the Missouri Tigers right now, especially when they're at home. Did you know that Missouri has a longer home winning streak than Kansas does? And I'm told that's the mecca of basketball, the toughest place to go in there and play. Teams are walking in there leaving with victories every day. They're not doing that when they come to Mizzou Arena. They're not doing that when they hear Mr. Brightside. They're leaving defeated. Not when they go to Allen, though. They watch that video. They feel inspired to give out a first grade ass whooping is what they've been giving out when they go to that place. But that's not the purpose of this segment. Missouri's sitting there right now, 13-3, undefeated at home, just having a fantastic season. KU, I'm watching them on Saturday. They're setting basketball back. They're playing some just nice 40-32 basketball games. Just effort, defensive intensity, and bricks. That's what they're just going out there doing, building houses, building shelters for people right now with the bricks that they're throwing up. But you know what? At least they won. Nobody cares if you win ugly. You won. K-State, you're a different beast. Rob, what happened to K-State? It wasn't that long ago. We were looking at K-State as they were going to the Elite Eight. Their coach was being courted by everybody. Are you going to take the Ole Miss job? You going to take the Arkansas job? Maybe you'll go to Baylor. If we were talking about that. Rob, they got a hot and ready 30-piece this weekend. Hot and ready. They weren't in either of the games they played last week. They went on the road and played Oklahoma State. I don't even know why they got on the plane. They certainly didn't get on there to play basketball. They were not interested in trying to win on Tuesday night. All right, we're coming back home. We got Houston coming back into town. Why don't we get back on the right path? Why don't we get things going? We can do that now. We play well. We win this game. We get a quad one win. We're back on track. They got beat by 30. You got Texas Tech coming up. You got KU and Baylor coming up. There ain't a whole lot of sunny days coming up for the K-State Wildcats. They're looking at a bottom four. They're going to be playing in session one in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to be playing on Tuesday afternoon in the Big 12 tournament. Don't nobody want to play on a Tuesday afternoon in the Big 12 tournament. K-State's going to be playing West Virginia in session one in the Big 12 tournament. Colorado, don't nobody want to go to that game. They're paying you to go to that game. Those tickets are going to be $2 to go to that session one on a Tuesday against Colorado. When did it get this bad for K-State? They look like a team that has quit. They look like a team that has quit and a team that is not currently listening to their head coach. The effort that they gave this week against Oklahoma State was embarrassing, and they were never in the game on Saturday against Houston. What happened to the Wildcats?
There was a time, I think it was on John Kurtz's 3 Mile podcast, and I apologize if I'm crediting the wrong podcast. Remember this offseason when Jerome Tang said to donors, if you bring me the money, we can bring you a natty?
I remember that.
That is a thing he said at one of the Catbacker events. He said the word natty. And then Coleman Hawkins, we find out, is making $2 million. It's like the rest of the roster is free. But even the NIL and the things aside, when you as the head coach of it, whatever team, K-State, the Chiefs, the Royals, it does not matter what organization you're a part of. If you start talking big expectations, your fans jump in and they join in big expectations. They start to get excited. They start foaming at the mouth. They had Coleman Hawkins, Brendan Hawson, Doug McDaniel, like David Castillo, that four-star guard they brought in. They were K-State fans in August were talking spicy about this team. You thought I'll talk spicy about KU football. K-State fans were hot and bothered by the hoops program. And now I saw the advanced analytics have them as the second worst team in the league. The only team worse is Oklahoma State, who you lost to head-to-head, by
Got
the way.
By too.
This team reeks of Tuesday Arizona State down in Kansas City at 2:30.
It ain't looking good.
Well, you know what? Me and you will go if you have no show, and we will be the only people there. You'll hear us both clapping for Tang. Woohoo!
No, I will not be at that game. No, thank you. I don't have any interest in being at that game. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the NFL. Can I? Now, this is just from my years of watching Law and Order and watching crime documentaries. Most of the time, the criminals are actually, in fact, pretty stupid. It's not that the cops are super smart and they do some high-level investigative work to uncover your crime. It's that, no, you're actually really, really dumb is how they eventually caught you. Can I tell you guys what this boy Jontay Porter was doing? Because when I read this story earlier today, it blew my mind. Do you guys want to know one of the ways that they uncovered this scheme that Jontay Porter cooked up? So for those of you that don't know, Jontay Porter was playing for the Toronto Raptors, and essentially he was point shaving. He would have certain people bet on the unders. He would fake an injury. He would get hurt. Something would happen so they could collect their unders and profit. Did you guys know that he was texting during the game? During halftime, he was texting the bettors updates on what was going on. They got the text messages. Why do these criminals not think that the police can't get your phone? What? Where do you think these text messages go? They're stored on here. You didn't erase them. You didn't delete them. They're up in the cloud somewhere. You're just keeping notes of a felony that you were participating in? So I'm reading this on January 23rd of last year, so almost a year ago. Jontay Porter was texting with the defendant. And it's like a series of texts. He really wants this guy to be up to date. He's really trying to inform him. Hopefully he had his notifications on. Jontay texts in, I went back to the locker room to get my eye checked on. I don't know if I'm going to play anymore. I'm not going to start the second half, but if it's garbage time, then I'm going to take a million shots. They have more of your text. Jontay, you're stupid. I don't mean that to put you down. I mean that as more of an observation, more of a statement of fact. Why are you texting with someone your activity in a felony? They're trying to put you in jail for this. Federal custody, lockup. You're going to jail. And you're texting with them, play-by-play updates? You might as well should have walked down to the precinct. First off, you didn't think it was going to register any alarms when somebody placed a major bet on Jontay Porter unders? You didn't think that was going to raise any red flags, and you did it three separate times. And then when they uncovered your phone, they see you talking to the individual, and you are basically giving them a play-by-play of your criminal endeavors. Stupid. Stupid. I feel bad for Jontay. I honestly do. I feel terrible for Jontay, but my boy, I mean, you led him right to the crime. You left the bloody glove right in your living room. You left the murder weapon. It's in your trunk. How could you be so stupid? It doesn't make any sense. Absolutely no sense. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to the National Football League. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers that are in a very interesting crossroads as an organization. Keep it right here. You listen to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan as we recap Wild Card Weekend.